Welcome to Respect Life Radio. My name is Deacon Jeff Bennett with Catholic Charities of the Archdiocese of Denver. And remember, you can listen to all of our shows at respectliferadio.com. Today, our guest is Dr. Peter Howard. He holds a doctorate in sacred theology from the Angelicum in Rome. He is the founder of the Fulton Sheen Institute and author of The Woman, the authoritative book on Fulton Sheen's Mariology. Peter is also a renowned international Catholic speaker, author, professor, theologian, Mariologist, and Catholic entrepreneur. And he and his wife are also founders of Heroic Families. And Dr. Howard, thanks for joining us today.
Well, it's great to be with you, Deacon Jeff. It's always an honor.
I'll let you decide that afterwards. But this is really, Archbishop Fulton Sheen has always been very near and dear to me. And when I saw that you were doing the Institute, because I watch his, Fulton Sheen's videos on YouTube quite a bit. What attracted you to Archbishop Fulton Sheen, and what encouraged you to start the Fulton Sheen Institute?
Well, I sort of ran into Fulton Sheen, I wouldn't say by accident, but it was not intended in the sense of this is back in the late 90s, this is like 98, and I took a retreat, a personal retreat while I was living in Texas trying to figure out what God wanted me to do in life. And my sister said, hey, on your way out to East Texas, why don't you put in this retreat series that we have from our parish? And it transformed our pastor. And he may give you some great insights. We know that, he's a very powerful person. And to be honest, I didn't really know much at all about Fulton Sheen other than an occasional reference to him. He was hardly ever mentioned in any kind of in my theological classes. So I listened to this retreat, and literally I was hooked within the first couple of minutes. He just captivated me. And I sat in my car for basically 3 days and listened to these, back then, the cassette tapes. And right. I knew that he would be a pivotal person in whatever God was going to call me to. And so it ended up forming me in other ways as I dug deeper into Sheen. And then later on, many, many, many years later, after writing my doctorate on him, it was, we've got to get Sheen out there. Yes, you can access him online, but we got to draw people to his importance. And so eventually I felt moved to start the Fulton Sheen Institute about 4 years ago.
How can people access the Fulton Sheen Institute and kind of find out all the great things that you're doing?
Well, very simply, you can just go to FultonSheenInstitute.com and you can access things that are on there, see what we're doing. There's a humongous course on there called The Final Hour, Fulton Sheen's Plan to Save America and the World. That's sort of like my life's work leading up to about 4 years ago that really brings Sheen and his relevance to every major issue that we're facing today in a, I would say, pretty lengthy, almost like master's level course in the sense of the depth of content, but it's extremely accessible. And I think for most people, it will change the way they look at everything, including Fulton Sheen. So that's a great place to start.
I think that's one of the beauties. He speaks with authority. He speaks with great clarity that, he could speak to anyone and have them understand virtually any teaching of the church. And it almost makes you feel like, well, geez, how didn't I know that? He makes it sound so accessible to everyone. Isn't that a great, what are your thoughts on just his ability to speak clarity in a way that everybody can understand?
I think that's what really impressed me the most. When I got introduced to him, I had just finished my undergraduate work at Franciscan University. And, you study under the best theology professors and you're exposed to so much. But when I listened to him, I found exactly what you said, both authority when he spoke and the power behind what he said, and also a clarity and a prescience of his insights as they would be applicable to our times. I mean, I really felt that he was sitting right next to me, giving me this retreat as if he were alive today. And the retreat was from 1972. So, I got really hooked on him, and I also wanted to know what was the secret of this extraordinary ability to communicate. And it was really two things. One was, of course, he was an assiduous student from his earliest years, but he sort of had an unparalleled intellect. That's there's no question about that. But the other thing that he said that really struck me and remained with me the rest of my life since then was his commitment to a daily holy hour from the day of his ordination, a promise he kept for 60 years. And he said, that's the power that you need if you really want to convert souls. And if you really want to have insights that are greater than between two covers of a book, you'll find them when you're on two knees on a pray do before our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. So I said, you know what? That's the path I want to follow as a theologian, as a Catholic, and then in with the vocation that God called me. And so ever since, he was right there at the forefront of everything I felt called to do.
With the challenges that we face in our world, especially within our church, right? The mutation of Jesus' teaching, the muddiness, the murkiness of trying to figure out what's being said. You know, it seems to me that this, you know, the halt on the eventually future canonization of the venerable Archbishop Fulton Sheen almost seems like it was done on purpose, because they don't want to bring attention to somebody who teaches clarity and truth when what we're seeing is really something different from that.
I completely agree with that. There's no doubt in my mind that the devil is working really hard to trivialize the importance of his beatification because of what that will do instantaneously to not only the church, but even the whole world. I mean, Sheen was literally a universal figure. 60% of the people who listened to him were non-Catholic. When you look to the crises of our times, this was a man who not only foresaw them, boldly proclaimed them, but also provided answers for pretty much everything. Just like he said, St. Thomas was needed so much during the 19th and 20th century. Well, the 21st century needs a Fulton Sheen who, by his own genius and study, incorporates everything St. Thomas ever ever wrote. And then a man who also had insights into the culture through psychology, all of the sciences. This is a guy who did all of the heavy lifting for us and showed us a path to sanctity. So there's no doubt in my mind that Satan does not want this man to be given any more attention that he has. And yes, you can access him online, but that's very different than literally drawing a spotlight universally through all the media outlets, through billions of people saying, the church has a new blessed, and people want to know, well, why? Who is this guy?
You know, the videos are great, and I can't, you know, I'd be lying if I say I haven't watched videos and stolen things from my homilies, because he just does such a great job. But, you know, his books shouldn't be overlooked either, right? I've read several of them. I have several of them in my collection, and his being able to see through the murkiness and preach and talk about clarity is just really unprecedented in this day and age. And so I would encourage people to get books and watch videos. But when we're trying to find out the truth on a topic, he's pretty much covered most of them, if not all of them. And when we can't decide what is right and what is wrong, there'd be no better place than to go to him and see what he spoke on this, because it seems like he was just talking about it yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially if you ever get your hands on a remastered audio version of anything he's done, which is what I had from my very first experience. It literally was so clear that it was as if he was right next to me. But yeah, I think Sheen's greatest insights are in his books for sure. And he synthesizes them down in his television shows, because you have to remember, I mean, like I said, his audience was 60% non-Catholic. And so he prepared his message that way. People didn't know really he was referring to St. Thomas Aquinas, this, you know, this part of the Summa, whatever it may be. He simply wanted to start with something that was common to everybody, and then from there lead them to divine truths. But for today, where we have a world that is so wounded and psychologically twisted because of all of the confusion and lies, here's a man who dedicated every moment of his life to being able to understand what the world is thinking, what the errors are, and how to provide solutions. So like you said, all of his works combined, his audio, his video, is an extraordinary gift for not just Catholics, but anybody, anybody in the world who's trying to find their path to God, to find a life that is worth living, which is really why he named his show that. And they're right there. And I think that they'll find that there isn't anybody who cannot at least understand what he says. They might not agree in the end for whatever reason, mm-hmm. but he's so clear. And I think that that's critical, especially for Catholics who I think are more affected by the confusion than anybody else.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And what would you say he would say today? And because I think he has said it in the past, what is the greatest sin going on right now?
Ooh, that's a great question. Immediately what comes to my mind is apathy mm-hmm. and neglect. Apathy and neglect. I remember so often Sheen would refer in his talks to a poem written by G. Studdard Kennedy, and it was about Jesus in today's modern day Birmingham, England, and how I'm looking out the window now, and it's just a cold, dreary day. It's wet, and how Christ is out there on the streets of Birmingham in all of this muck, and people just passed him by. They didn't acknowledge his suffering. They didn't care about his suffering. And at one point in the poem, he says Jesus leaned against the wall and he crouched down and he sighed for Calvary. At least that was a culture that was intentionally there, or there were people who were giving attention to what was happening to him. Today, people just don't care. And it's the neglect that's not being done. The thing that we have, the crises that are in the world because of what we have failed to do, much more than the things that we actually do.
I agree. I mean, the apathy is palpable when you think about how many people come to Mass, how you have to beg people so that you can do a perpetual adoration just to get one person per hour. And then, we had COVID hit, and that really, kind of saw the wizard behind the screen, right? That, it really wasn't that big a deal, right? There were some clamoring, how do we cancel Masses? But others, they found things to do. And as Masses came back, they didn't, did they?
No, they didn't. And once again, it's lies, it's lies, it's lies. And like Sheen would say too, this is a very important point, is that we have a great responsibility to look at everything in the world through a theological lens. And too often we're uninformed, and it's because we just simply listen to the journalists, you could say, that are out there, because that's what Sheen would say. It's a battle of people reporting what's going on, and nobody really gets to the truth. But a theologian looks at all the events of the world and looks at why is it happening. And so people can sit there and go back and forth about all the COVID stuff. Now we know it's pretty much everything about it was a lie. But Sheen would say, well, why? And then you could begin to see, well, yeah, like you were saying, churches were closed. Who would have ever thought that would have ever happened? And so quickly, and then the precedent that gets set, and it reveals so much about the church kind of cowering to the state and all of these things. But we don't look critically at the events of the world. And that's a fatal flaw in every sense of that word, literally, metaphorically, spiritually. This is a crisis that we have. And I think Sheen represents a very strong cry to Catholics to wake up. And I've heard him use those words. He said, America must awake. And this was during World War II. And because he was saying, even then, we didn't understand what was going on. Yeah, we could recognize a Hitler. He says, but we're not recognizing all the bad blood that led to a Hitler. And if we don't get that right, what he called winning the revolution more than the war, he says we're going to end up in an endless cycle of wars that get worse and worse through time to what we have today.
Well, and he constantly reminded us, the battle against evil, and that the devil was real, and that he is working amongst us. And, what was it, a few years ago, we had the head of the Jesuits, really denying that there was a devil. We just had the Pope the other day on an interview saying he'd like to think nobody's in hell, which is contrary mm-hmm. to the teachings of the gospel. So we have, within the church, we are our own worst enemy, but we have within our church a denial of evil, and it's, it only can do what the Lord allows it to do, but we're allowing him to manipulate and make us think he doesn't exist, and it's to our own detriment.
Yeah, I agree, and I think your point is it ties right into, and it goes hand in hand with the apathy and neglect, because one of the biggest neglects that Sheen would say was the neglect of sin, or the denial of sin. Because he was joking, saying the Immaculate Conception, one would think would be a difficult doctrine for non-Catholics, but he says like they shouldn't have any problem because today everybody's immaculately conceived, with the denial of sin. But yeah, I agree. It's this is a huge problem, but not something that the church hasn't been forewarned, even in scripture and in its saints, and even in Fulton Sheen, he was very clear that the church will be the one brought to judgment first before the world. And I think that that's been going on, and we're now seeing that transition into the world itself experiencing its chastisement from the Lord. He's not going to let this go on forever.
Well, and right, the Virgin Mary, through apparitions and through, private revelation, has said over hundreds of years, right, there's problems, it's in the church, right? She's warned us about communism in Fatima, which Fulton Sheen was all on board with. But, Fulton Sheen had obviously a great devotion to the Virgin Mary, but he really can introduce those that may be not familiar with her to them, right? And he really is kind of a gateway to help us get to build a relationship with Mary so we can know her son even better.
Yes, it was always something that he pointed out. He says, one, if you ever want to convert a soul, you go to Mary. He also repeated often how Mary is the advent of Christ. I think this is one of his most beautiful things that I have found in what he's written on her, is that he says, not every place in the world can say the Our Father, but they could all learn the Hail Mary. In other words, talking about using the wedding feast at Cana, where Mary preceded Jesus in his first miracle. And it said, and the mother of Jesus was there. He says, while the Christianity is waiting to enter these cultures, Mary's always there in anticipation, and she's this a spiritual Trojan horse through whom, once she gets a foothold at somewhere, then she quickly betrays that culture to Christ. And we've seen that over and over and over again. And that's why she's such a great hope. And Sheen always pointed to that the crises of our times is indeed going to be conquered and accomplished through Mary, not figuratively, not just some theological sense, but actually, just as Christ came the first time to establish his kingdom, as we're now, you could say, 2,000 years later, and 6,000 years from the eyes of the fathers and how they looked at history, we're at the end of what they would see as the sixth day. And Mary is going to be the one who's going to usher in this new era to come. Fulton Sheen was very clear that he says, and this is a quote, he says, we are living in the days of the apocalypse, the last days of our era. And the two great forces of the mystical body of Christ and the mystical body of Antichrist have drawn up the lines for the catastrophic contest. That wasn't just like some storytelling formula. That was real. And that was in the 1940s. And so he saw Mary as the transition to bring one from this old era into the next one, which I would say is the era of peace.
Again, he's done so much great work, but it just seems to me that he would be perfect, you know, families, and everybody's looking for what can we do to strengthen the faith and strengthen the family bond. I can't think of a much better way than maybe playing one of his videos or reading one of his books together as a family, and then having a conversation on just whatever topic you're talking about, that he can bring such clarity and speak to the youngest to the oldest in the family in a way that very few can.
Yeah, that's a great point. I know one thing that he would recommend, and he did recommend, especially at all the weddings that he presided at, he always implored the couple getting married to make sure that in their home, every single night, that they prayed a family rosary. And he said that really was the secret. You know, Mary needs to be in the heart of the home. And so spiritually, that's one thing that every family should do. And the other thing, I think what you're pointing out is great, because that was one of the gifts of Sheen, is that what he presented was always relatively short, about 25 minutes. If you look at his television shows or even his radio programs, they could be a little bit longer. But choose a topic and find it. You know, on our website, we have a link to an audio library you can get. It's like about 300 of his talks, all of his catechesis, these retreats. And that's actually at a separate website, FultonSheenMovement.com. But you can, you know, right there, you could have that, you could put on your phone, then connect it to a speaker, and then, yeah, just do a little bit. I don't know if every night would be awesome, but I would at least say perhaps maybe on a Sunday, you know, carve some time out, and along with the, you know, the readings of the Mass, but have Sheen give an insight, choose something that really appeals to you and listen.
Well, and you know, he was a man of, I mean, he was everywhere, right? Not only on TV, but I remember, you know, reading the story of Belladonna and the School of Darkness, and, you know, a Catholic who became a communist and tried to infiltrate the church with getting priests in the seminaries and everything. And Fulton Sheen was the one who brought her back into the church, right? He had great mercy and compassion. So it wasn't only preach, 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 but he lived what he preached.
He did. I think that's one of the great unsung and the greatest of the virtues of Sheen was the fact of how much he suffered for souls. He didn't just say, you know, there's nothing greater than the salvation of a soul. His entire life, everything that he was about was a passion to save souls. And so often when he was traveling, he would ask the Lord, he'd say, send me suffering for a soul. And he has some great stories on that, especially when he was visiting his favorite place, Lourdes, France, and the shrine there. But in the end, he says, every soul has its price. And we need to be careful what we pray for, especially if we ask to pay that price for a soul. But he was willing to do that. So many churches were constructed as prayers of thanksgiving for the souls that were saved when he prayed that prayer for them. So Sheen was a man who suffered tremendously. He was, I think that was the source of his power, as he would say, was that he was a priest and victim. And you know, that's a whole another topic right there. But that's a critical thing. He says, look, the problem that we have today is that, you know, we just offer and beg versus we don't realize that the most powerful thing we can do is unite ourselves to the cross.
Yeah, and it was a constant message of his that is a reminder to us, right? I remember running into a Catholic says, well, I'm a resurrection Catholic. And I said, well, how do you be a resurrection Catholic if there's no crucifixion? Oh, that's just not for me. And that, you know, he spoke such clarity on embracing the cross and what Jesus, how he suffered for each and every one of us. And it is a reminder to us, we can't get to Jesus without the cross. And I think Fulton Sheen was great at reminding us of that.
He was. When you look at pretty much everything he wrote, he always filters his theme into that. Even psychologically, he uses those the terminologies of psychiatry and psychology to basically explain refer to what they're acknowledging as the cross, and then the importance of suffering and self-sacrifice, the sacrificing of your ego if you want to find true happiness, is absolutely necessary. You know, he points this out repeatedly in his works that, you know, in order to enter into something higher, even in the order of nature, something has to allow itself to be killed and enter into the higher form. You know, an animal eats a plant, and then a man eats an animal, and then eventually man is consumed, you can say. And then God allows himself to be consumed in the Eucharist, and then we become what we eat. All of that requires a death all along the way to something lower, to be brought up into something higher. And until we realize that, our society is going to be remains very superficial and never find the answers to all of its problems, because that's really at the root of it.
Well, and the problem is they look for all the answers in all the wrong places when it's right in front of us, right? That's the sad part about it. We don't have to look far. We're down to the last few seconds. Peter, maybe you can remind people about your website and how they can follow all the things you're doing.
Sure. Well, a great way to follow all that we're doing right now is to go to our movement side of what we do. It's called the Fulton Sheen Movement, and simply go to fultonsheenmovement.com. We have an active petition there that has over 11,000 signatures now from people all around the world to help bring attention to the importance of having Fulton Sheen's massive beatification rescheduled. That's all that has to be done, and there are zero obstacles. That's a great way to get involved as well, especially if Fulton Sheen has in any way touched your own life. And so that's goes in tandem with the work that we do with the Institute. So I don't want to get confusion on the websites, because they're very similar. You have the FultonSheenInstitute.com and then the movement, FultonSheenMovement.com. But I do encourage everybody to be a part of that, because by doing that, you are bringing Fulton Sheen into the heart of more and more homes.
Respect Life Radio is produced by Catholic Charities in the Archdiocese of Denver. And remember, you can listen to all of our shows at RespectLifeRadio.com.